When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Evidence is clear that many boys with absent fathers are more likely to struggle in school and more. Stay tuned for this conversation with the director of Lads Need Dads. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast, and we are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net and Janet Allison of boysalive.com. As always, thank you for being our listeners, and thank you for supporting our sponsors. Boys with absent fathers have a tougher road. Maybe not every boy, but the evidence is clear that many boys with absent fathers or without a strong father figure are more likely to struggle in school, more likely to drop out, and more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Lads Need Dads is on the forefront of exploring the perception that teachers have about boys who have less involved fathers. Understanding the impact this has, they've developed proactive steps to support and add resources for boys with absent fathers. These are familiar issues in the U.S., and our guest today comes from the U.K., where, guess what, the issues and challenges are the same. This is a global problem. Sonia Shaljean is the director of the UK organization Lads Need Dads. They are confronting the issues of fatherlessness and supporting changes within the educational system by creating programming that directly engages boys, including a strong program of mentorship. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. And you are also the mom of three sons.
That's right. Yeah. 17, 19, and 22.
That's great. Our longtime listeners will know that Jen's sons are right in that ballpark. So you two have a lot in common. I will say that my beloved co-host will not be joining us today. So it's you and me. So let's dive in. So, Sonia, you worked in the fields of criminal justice, domestic abuse, anger management, homelessness for over 20 years. So how did all that track and lead you into working with this issue of fatherlessness?
Okay, so the first thing I recognized in all of those fields were males were overrepresented. You know, they were dominated by men, all the statistics. And all of the clients I worked with were mainly male, except when it was in domestic abuse, when the majority were female victims, but male perpetrators. And what I kept on finding throughout my career was not only were men overrepresented, but many of them had no father growing up or had a poor experience of father. So I got to thinking, hang on, if there's this very common factor across the board with all these social issues, why are we not doing more about it to prevent the next generation of young men becoming men who maybe go into broken relationships or become problematic in society or have alcohol or drug dependence or just don't really achieve in life, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of took a bit of a leap of faith after I'd worked on a program that was It was called the Troubled Families Program. It was a government-run scheme about 10 years ago, addressing the most complex families in the UK. And my job was to set up a mentoring scheme to support the family. It was there that I identified how many single parents were struggling and how many mums were just pulling their hair out, not knowing what to do with their sons. Mm-hmm. At that point, I thought, this is it. This is the project I want to set up. I want a project that can help support young men who, for no fault of their own, are in a fatherless situation, but also support the mothers of those young men, because the mums were really struggling too. Mm-hmm. So I wanted a program that predominantly was supporting the boys, but behind the scenes was supporting the mums. And that's what I did. That's when Lads Need Dads was birthed, really, in 2015.
Wow. And giving birth to something like this is not easy. You really have to pull in a lot of resources and support. And I love that you are working directly with the boys and the moms too. I mean, Jen and I have said for years, like, being a solo mom of boys has its own specific set of challenges, and trying to understand our young ones and our tweens and teens too. So, but having that direct contact with boys is super important. Tell us more about what that looks like.
Okay. So obviously at the time I looked around and thought, who else is doing this in the UK? You know, when you write your business plan, you look at your SWOT, you look at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, you know. And I looked around and realized nobody was doing anything in the whole of the UK. No one was addressing this issue of the absent father. There were mentoring programs scattered around, but they weren't specifically addressing the impact of the absent father on boys. They were mentoring per se, you know, with young people, boys, girls, and they were all one-to-one in their approach. And what I wanted to create was a group program, because boys really engage well in that kind of group pack mentality, really.
Yes.
There's something very powerful about boys when they come together, but even more powerful when they come together with men. So being a group worker for many, many years, I've seen the power of group. So I absolutely knew that the program I was going to write and develop would be group work based. And that it wouldn't be huge groups of boys. It would be manageable groups where boys don't get lost, where the quiet ones don't disappear and the loud ones rise to the top, you know. And the best model that I've worked with are groups of eight. So I thought, I'm going to create a model that's a group of eight boys with four volunteer mentors who are men from the community and a facilitator. So 13 was the magic number. I literally went to something called the School of Entrepreneurs, which is like a dragon's den. So you give your idea, and I had 10 minutes to pitch, and I couldn't use a PowerPoint. I just had to use the power of words. And I stood there and told them my idea. And if I was successful, they would give me £4,000. That's all. And a year's kind of mentoring myself. So I pitched. I was so excited. I left the room completely on fire, because I absolutely believed that this would work from all my experiences tied together. And I got a place on the program, and I got my £4,000, which is not a lot of money, set up the program. And I'm married to a teacher. He's also a behavior specialist, and he had lots of contacts with the schools, which was a bonus when it came to trying to do our first school, work with our first school and pilot the idea. We approached a local school, which is in an area of real deprivation and lots of social issues. We thought, if we can run it there, we can run it anywhere. We tried our program in that particular school. The program is an 18-month program. So the first 6 months we work in school, and then after that we work in the community. But that's still a long time. For most programs, they're 3 months or
right. A year.
You know, but ours was 18 months split into 3 6-month programs. The first 6 months was a group work development program where we explored what impacts boys, you know, like we just looked at life together, and we particularly focused on managing emotions, understanding what emotions are, anger, conflict in the home, bullying, managing stress, healthy relationships, gender stereotypes, everything you could think of, really. We had 6 months to which was a good generous amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside that, we did lots of outdoor activities, you know, bushcraft, sailing, fishing, anything we could really do to stretch them, to get the boys to take risks. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of boys we find that we work with, often the mothers are very protective, almost helicopter parents, if that's the word they use over in America.
Yes.
They have this fear that if he goes out on his bike, he'll get run over. Or if he climbs a tree, he'll fall out and break his leg, you know. And that's why it's so important to work with the mothers to kind of come alongside and say, look, they're in good care. We'll look after them. We won't take too many risks, but we will let them fly a bit, because mm-hmm. they're like birds with clipped wings, some of the boys. They've never taken risks. They don't want to get dirty in case they get told off for coming in with muddy leg, you know. And actually, boys naturally are made to take, you know, to be that. They've got more testosterone. They're more risk-taking by nature. Mm-hmm. So because they've not been dad around to do the rough and tumble play and take those risks and assure mum that, you know, little Billy's okay if he goes down the slide on his skateboard, that someone will be there to catch little Billy out of the tree if he falls. You know, the mums need a lot of reassurance, but mm-hmm. they learn to trust us and they allow us to help their boys, and they see them changing literally overnight in their confidence and their motivation and just their the way they talk to their mums. They open up more. They say, wow, I can't believe the change in my son now. He actually sits down and talks to me about how he feels, whereas before he just shut down, went to his bedroom and never spoke to me. Mm-hmm. So the relationship between mum and son is impacted positively too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the school program. And then the community program is where we teach them practical life skills that maybe dad, if he was around, or granddad might have shown him to do, like how to fix a puncture on the bike, how to polish their shoes or tie a tie or shave or, you know, woodwork, all sorts, how to be a DJ, how to cook a 3-course meal, you name it. We kind of cover everything. And then at the weekends, they go out and do volunteering in the community. So they help other single mothers or elderly or people with a disability with jobs in their garden or decorating or patio jet washing, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And really gives the boys a sense of achievement, personal satisfaction. It grows their ability to be empathetic to other people, maybe in a worse position than them. And it gets them out of bed in the morning on a Saturday, so they're not lying around or going on their old Xbox, you know. And they learn alongside their mentors, you know, how to do things, and their communication skills are better and their confidence in themselves. So that's the second part. And then quickly, the third part is called Inspire. The middle part's called Engage. The third part's called Inspire, where we train the boys up to be peer mentors to each other, to support each other, so that there's that sustainability, not just relying on us when we're not there. They've got each other. We have guest speakers come in from all over the country and world now, because we've got the amazing Zoom that we've all made the mm-hmm. most of, who can come and talk to them about their life, an adventure they've been on, maybe something, a life lesson that they've overcome that they don't want the boys to repeat, because we want to show the boys the good, the bad and the ugly. You know, we mm-hmm. want them to know not just how success looks, but how failure could look if you went potentially down that road of choice. So, and then by that time, they're growing through their adolescence. They're getting older, more mature. They become ambassadors, which means that they can stay with us until they're ready to go to college or have a job. So 18, 19. So potentially they can start with us at 11 and leave at 18 or 19. So you get them when they're little boys with little chubby cheeks and braces. And they're leaving as men with beards and deep voices. Yeah, it's amazing. It is a really lovely feeling. And I've even got one of them, the first boys I ever assessed, called Toby. He's now a mentor with us, and he's now a man with a beard. When he was just a little boy with a lovely, lovely face coming in with tears in his eyes. And now he's a mentor with us. You know, it's a really humbling experience. I just love working with them. It's very humbling.
Well, it's amazing the breadth of your program. As you said, you know, sometimes programs are 3 months at the most, or they go off to summer camp for a couple weeks and that's it. And to have this expanse of time, as you said, you know, to come in with chubby cheeks and go out with, you know, starting to get some stubble and moving through that really difficult time. Because we know, you know, starting around 11, 12, many moms start to feel this distance beginning to develop. And we know that our boys are designed to pull away. And that's often fine. That's when they have, you know, if there is a dad or a father figure, that's who they turn to and that's who they're looking at. And so to provide these relationships and, you know, your group size of 8 boys with 4 to 5 men, wow. You know, I mean, I wish every boy could have this, whether they had a father or
not. Yeah, the amount of people who say, can my son come on, even though he's got a dad? My sons have got dads. And sometimes I say to them, do you want to come along to this this event or this day out that we go out? Because we take the boys on activities and days out. Because we like, in fact, the early days, our sons took part in everything because we didn't want them to feel left out. We wanted their opinion. So we'd say, what do you think of this activity? Is it any good? Do you think boys will like it? Yeah. So we've created it as a family together, really. And it's been really important that they've been on the journey with us. Mm-hmm. Now the name Lads Need Dads is banned from the dinner table because I talk about it too much. They just say, try and get to room without mentioning work.
But it's work and it's work, but as
it's
you know,
it's not work, it's a vocation, it's a calling. It's total calling. This is my mission in life, is to raise awareness about the impact of the absent father, but the importance that fathers play in the role of our children's lives. And that's the battle, actually, that I'm up against in this country, at least, because you could throw loads of money at me and say, hey, that's a great program. It's really successful. You've got great outcomes and you've got living proof that it works. But it's taken time and dedication to drill through the hard ground. Yes. And it's really hard ground because getting people to recognize that this is a need that actually boys, well, we all need dads, don't we? But boys in particular can be impacted very negatively without a positive father figure in their life. Because we live in a society now that almost can live without, you know, women have been empowered to the point we don't need to rely on a man to provide for us anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like years ago, you were a home, stay-at-home mum maybe, and dad went out to work, he was a breadwinner. The roles of men and women have very much changed. And, you know, men, I'm sure fathers, men feel a little bit redundant to their purpose in life, which is really, really sad. So sometimes some single mums kind of probably think, well, why do I need to put my son on that program? Lads don't need dads, they've got me.
Right, right. And we know, you and I know, our listeners know, our boys need both.
They need both.
All. This reminds me of a talk that I gave, oh my gosh, probably now 8 years ago. Full house, did my talk, had a lesbian couple, two moms, stand up at the Q&A time. And they said, you know, this feels very heteronormative. And we can provide everything for our son. Are you saying that, you know, having two moms is not, you know, that we can't give him all he needs? And truly, I mean, I'm hardly ever speechless, but I just kind of stood there, my brain's just running, like, how do I be diplomatic about this? And at that moment, sitting right behind them was a man, a young man, he was probably like 20s. And he stood up and he said, I have two moms. And I can tell you, I needed men in my life too. Wow. And I was like, oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely. We have boys on our program that have got two mums, and I take my hat off to them that they recognize the need for the male input that they can't give. Because at the end of the day, they're women, not men. And boys need both, but particularly through the adolescent years, the boys really do need that male influence, because you can feel redundant as a mum. I have. My boys just need me now for clean underwear, money on their dinner card or money in the bank, and you know, lifts to places.
Right.
And that's about my job. That's my job now. Whereas my husband, he really stepped up into that. Mm-hmm. You know, they need, even just walking to the shop late at night with dad for a chat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that they miss out on, boys that don't have dads, or going for a bike ride on a Sunday afternoon, or because actually they're only interested for a few years to spend time with you as well. That's what I would say. They get mm-hmm. to the point where their friends become more important than their family. That's who their pack is. So mm-hmm. you only have a finite amount of time to spend that quality time with your boys, and then you're kind of invisible to them for a few years, and then they come back.
That's the important part. Then they come back. They come back. They really, really do. We are going to pause for a moment to hear these messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Sonia Shaljean of LadsNeedDads.org and hear about her work and how it impacts in schools. As Mother's Day is coming around, I find I'm missing my mom more and more. And there's always questions and stories I wish I had asked her when she was still here. I do remember that I gave her a book once upon a time with questions for her to write the answers to. And bless her heart, she didn't answer very many. So that was really a disappointment. But fast forward to now and technology. And now we have mylifeinabook.com. It takes all those questions and stories and it puts it in a format that is sent to your person, whoever you designate, on a regular basis so that the prompts come, they're easily answered either written or voice to text, and they're captured by mylifeinabook.com. These family stories, this legacy that you want to leave for your children and your grandchildren. MyLifeInABook.com, create an unforgettable gift for your mom, your dad, your children this Mother's Day. Use our coupon code ONBOYS for 10% off. Go to MyLifeInABook.com and use ONBOYS for 10% off. Create that legacy. Carry on those stories.
We talk at you all the time. Now we want to talk with you. Janet and I are partnering and we are so excited. We will be offering a 3-session series. Talk with boys like a pro about anything and everything.
3 sessions, 3 weeks in a row. Jen, I'm so excited about this because not only do we get to see each other again in a week, but we get to talk directly with our listeners, and we'll be bringing great information, but also there will be time for discussion, time for questions. And that is truly where the gold is.
We will troubleshoot in real life all those questions that pop into your head when you hear us do podcasts and make suggestions. This is your chance to ask, to clarify, to really drill down into how you can use these communication techniques and shift your strategies in your home, in your family, with your child.
Go to boysalive.com/boys. And all the info is there. Get registered. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, that's Talk with Boys Like a Pro about anything and everything. We will be live in May. All the details are at boysalive.com/boys. And get registered. Don't delay. This is going to be so much fun. And it's going to give you peace of mind. New information, new insights. We hope you'll join us. So you have brought this program into schools. Talk about teachers, what they see.
Okay, so before we work in a school, we ask the school to take part in a survey. The survey questions are on our website from the research we've just conducted across some schools in Essex. And we want to know the school teacher's opinion of, do they think there's a link between maybe disruptive behavior, underachievement, attendance, and school exclusion, and boys that don't have a father in their life? And the results were astounding, like in that late 80, 90% of yes, 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 you know, to these questions. So the school teachers are recognizing this, right? But there's not been anything formalized by government, you know, or local authorities to actually address the fact that these boys are high risk. If they go, if I was a head teacher and I looked down my list of boys coming into my school and girls, I want to know who are the ones without a dad, because I know that that boy is at a high risk of not doing so well at school, potentially, of potentially having mental health issues, low lack of motivation, low self-esteem, lack of confidence, all of those issues, and potentially disruptive behavior, not having good emotional regulation. Now, I'm not saying all boys with absent fathers, because I have to say at this point, there are protective factors in boys' lives that can counter some of those negative impacts, such as having a supportive mother who isn't complex and hasn't got chaotic issues of her own, which can massively impact the welfare of the boy. Other male family members that are proactive in that child's life, sports and coaches and mentors outside of the family home, they're all protective factors for that child. And they may not ever come under the notice of teachers as being problematic in any way. They could be top set children who are doing really well academically. But I would say they might not have everything off the list of what impacts them, but they would definitely have something. So it could be little Billy's really clever, high achieving child. Teachers would never think that he would need a program of support, but actually at home, he's got poor body image, low self-esteem, doesn't have a strong friendship group, doesn't believe in himself, is arguing with his sister and putting her down a lot, and getting into angry, you know, confrontations with mom. But at school, he keeps a lid on it. And he's Billy, the clever kid, who nobody says anything to because he just gets on with his work, you know. But actually, he's really, really struggling with relationships at home. So he is just as in need of having a space on our program as the boy who's constantly being excluded, constantly being given detentions and falling out and getting into conflict in school. They both deserve a place, and they both have different issues that they'll come with. But the common denominator with all of them is that they have no dad in their life who's active. And that is the one leveler in our group, which is amazing to witness. You could have a boy from a very poor, deprived area in a very low income background who's not high achieving academically, in the same group as a high achieving boy from a very rich background with a mum who's a professor at the university. And they become friends in that group because they have this shared experience that they're walking this journey together on this road together, having these experiences of going to things together, learning together, and they can become lifelong friends from what we've seen. And that is the leveler. And that is what I find amazing about group work, because these boys get to understand the lives of other boys and increase their ability to have empathy, and their emotional intelligence increases and their tolerance for different. We have boys with autism on the program that have got absolutely no friends. They come to us and their mom says, I've struggled so much to get him to school because he's so anxious. He has no friends. He's so lonely. But he loves coming to Lasney Dads because he feels he has a friendship group where he's accepted, where he belongs, where he's loved. And it might even be his best friends with one of the boys who's the alpha male in his year, who's the cocksure kind of hard kid. We have to, like, you know, kind of help him with his anger because he's used to expressing and externalizing his pain rather than internalizing. And they become friends, two kids that would never cross paths in a million years, or one would be scared of the other. They're friends. Yeah. You know, and that's a beautiful part about group work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's what we see for parents, how we encourage, you know, moms, you've got to reach out. There's people out there who are, you know, have a shared experience. You don't have to do this alone. No. And you're doing that for the boys. You're giving them that crucial piece of you're not alone. There's other boys who have absent fathers. And
that's right. That's spot on. Because the one thing they say is, I don't feel alone anymore. I'm not the only one. Because they may be that boy who on sports day, it's really painful for, because all the dads are cheering on their friends and they look around and they have no dad cheering them on, you know?
Yeah.
When they meet other boys who have experienced that, it's so bonding for them and quite healing for them almost to know that I'm not the only one. We had this boat trip once and one boy started to talk about his dad, because we don't actually talk about dad immediately in the group. We don't want them to feel like the spotlight is on them. You know, we don't want ever to feel uncomfortable. But around month 8 is what I've realized is the time they start to want to talk about dad. And one boy said, yeah, my dad left when I was 3. He went to the shop to get a pint of milk and never came back. And then another boy he was talking to said, well, that's really odd, because my dad went when I was 3 and he went to buy a pint of milk and never came back. And I thought,
wow.
You know, they've both had the same experience, and they both laughed and said, it wasn't the same dad, was it?
Right. That's what we're all thinking. Sonia, we're all thinking that. But I'm also curious, because we have in America, we have a serious lack of males in early childhood education, in kindergarten, the preschool, kindergarten, early elementary. What is similar there? Because our boys need, you know, they need to see men. They need to go to school and see someone who looks like them, who, you know, they can emulate. What would you say is your,
It's similar in Britain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, I can't even say what the percentage is for like early years, but it's very, very minuscule. And I think there's lots of reasons why that is. Maybe men will feel like women will think, why are you doing this? Why are you working with young children? That suspicion factor, which keeps them away. And then when you look at infant school, I remember in my son's school, there was only one male teacher, and he was in year 6, you know, age 10 and 11 years. Mm-hmm. All my boys had that teacher and they were so thrilled that they got him. And then you look at, I think it's 84% of primary school teachers are women in Britain. Mm-hmm. So you've only got a small percentage that are men. And then in secondary school, there's a few more men, but not as many as there should be at all. Mm-hmm. It's dominated the teaching industry by women. And yeah, we need to do more about that. And there's pros and cons from books I've read. There's books I've read which have said there's no evidence that having a male teacher has any impact on the child's education. But is it all about education when you're at
school?
Isn't school about learning about life as well? Yes.
It's social, emotional. It's not just academic, right?
So don't they need to see in school what is reflected in society? When they go out of school, you don't walk around with 85% women in the street, do you? It's 50-50. Mm-hmm. So I think we should at least have 50-50 in school to reflect society. Mm-hmm. But we don't. And much more work needs to be done around awareness and recruitment and the importance of having men around in schools for young men. They need it desperately, like a sponge needs water. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So needed.
A brief pause for these messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
We talk at you all the time. Now we want to talk with you. Janet and I are partnering and we are so excited. We will be offering a 3-session series. Talk with boys like a pro about anything and everything.
3 sessions, 3 weeks in a row. Jen, I'm so excited about this because not only do we get to see each other again in a week, but we get to talk directly with our listeners, and we'll be bringing great information, but also there will be time for discussion, time for questions. And that is truly where the gold is.
We will troubleshoot in real life all those questions that pop into your head when you hear us do podcasts and make suggestions. This is your chance to ask, to clarify, to really drill down into how you can use these communication techniques and shift your strategies in your home, in your family, with your child.
Go to boysalive.com/boys. And all the info is there. Get registered. This is going to be a whole lot of fun.
Again, that's Talk with Boys Like a Pro about anything and everything. We will be live in May. All the details are at boysalive.com/boys. And get registered. Don't delay. This is going to be so much fun. And it's going to give you peace of mind. New information, new insights. We hope you'll join us.
As I was reading your website, Lads Need Dads, I saw that you are a trustee with the Men and Boys Coalition, which yeah. I just thought, I mean, my brain kind of exploded because in America, we have so many commissions or councils, whatever you want to call them, for girls and women. There is a White House Council for Girls and Women, and we are still trying to get a White House Council for Boys and Men. It brings tears to my eyes. I can't even believe it. Tell us about what this Men and Boys Coalition. That sounds amazing, Sonia.
Well, it's quite a small but national umbrella charity that really addresses the needs of boys and men where they're unmet. And we raise awareness, we'll take it to Parliament and say, look, we need to address this. We've got lots of different organisations and individuals who work with men and boys affiliated to us, a bit like an umbrella body. And we're involved with a group called the All Parliamentary Group for Men and Boys, which is a government group trying to address the fact that there is no minister for men like yourselves. Mm-hmm. There's no minister for men in, you know, in our parliament, and we want that. We've got minister for women, but we haven't got one for men. So we're quite active in those circles trying to create evidence for that. And look at all men's issues, not just fatherlessness, lots of different issues that impact men, like health, for example, and suicide. I mean, men are overrepresented in all statistics, homelessness. You know, I worked in homelessness, 85% of our homeless population are men. Our prisons are full to the brim of men. The biggest killer of men is suicide.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at the statistics, they're so upsetting. And if it was the other way around and they were related to women, we'd be doing way more about it. We would be like roaming the streets of Westminster with our picket boards and saying, we need to change this. But there's an apathy, I think, when it comes to men's issues and acceptance. And it shouldn't be that way. Especially as a mother of three sons, I get very animated. Mm-hmm. You know, when my sons come in and say, oh, my friend was mugged last night by three lads in a balaclava. And I'd say, what? What, whereabouts? Well, it was broad daylight. Has he reported that? Oh, no, he's not bothered. Why has he not reported it? Because nothing will be done. Mm-hmm. And they have this apathy that young people think that nothing will really be done about anything that's done to them, particularly when it's a boy to a boy. So that whole attitude needs to change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, boys need to be supported and seen as the vulnerable gender that they actually are, because we are failing them. We're failing them badly. And if we want our boys to treat other people better, they need to know that they're valued and that we need to treat them better so that they can treat others, you know, unto others as you do unto yourself. So they need to feel cared for and loved and valued for who they are, not just because they're going to come into contact with girls. Therefore, they should be better behaved.
Right.
Let's help our young men for the sake of themselves, not just how they'll impact and benefit females.
Well, we are speaking the same language, Sonia, for sure. So in the first months of your program, it sounds like you really focus on helping boys step into their emotional lives, into their emotional vocabulary. And, you know, raised by a mom, they probably have been overtalked, shall we say, because moms love to talk and reason and explain. And I'm curious just what that experience is like. I know you're not personally in the groups with these boys, right?
I am.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. When I first set the program up, I was very much, because I wrote it, so I had to see how it was received. So I was the facilitator and the mentors were the co-facilitators. They helped the discussions. I left them to it when they were discussing issues and feeding back. But I'm kind of the jam in the bread. Kind of.
That's a good place to be, the jam in the bread. So what was your, I mean, you've had this expanse of years to, you know, the first program and laying that out. And now, you know, you're 7 years into this.
Yeah.
Talk about I know we're all, you know, we want to be flies on the wall. We're all curious what happens in the groups with the boys and how does it start to unlock, and what can we do as other adults, moms, dads around our boys to help unlock that aspect of our boys?
Increasing emotional intelligence is a major foundation of the work we do, because a lot of our boys come and they're what you call emotionally literate. You know, they only know how to feel sad, angry, or indifferent, and nothing else in between. So we literally are teaching them a new language, and we start off in very baby steps. So literally we will get a pack of faces with different emotions on: sad, happy, embarrassed, you know, all the different array of emotions, lay them out on the table, and we'll get the boys to go along, look at the table and choose a picture that relates to how they're feeling that day. I change them up. So sometimes it's just a face with no word on it, so they can create their own word or feeling. But at the beginning, we literally have to lay out all the different words and what they mean. And then they'll choose one, come and sit down and say, today I'm feeling embarrassed because the teacher shouted at me in front of everybody for dropping a pencil on the floor. And it actually wasn't me, it was the boy behind me. But then I got so embarrassed that I answered back and got sent out of the room, you know. And then so he'll talk about that, and we'll ask them to give a scale out of 10. So out of scale of 1 to 10, 1 being calm and 10 being very upset, you know, for example, where would you put yourself? So we get to know who in the room is a low number or a high number, who do we watch out for. And it sounds very, very basic, but actually they have to start off like that. It's like learning any language on Duolingo, for example. You start off on the very basic stuff, and it's the same with words, until eventually with emotions, that we don't need the cards anymore, that they can say, well, I'm feeling like this, and out of 10, I'm a 7, I'm feeling great today, or I'm an 8, I'm actually a 2 because my dog died yesterday, or you know. So, and what's really beautiful is when the boys are empathic to each other. We have we had one group where we had 50% of the boys had their fathers had died, because people don't think of absent fathers as absent as in died, but that is very common in the referrals we receive. About 35% overall of our referrals are because dads died. So in this particular one group, we had 50%, so 4 out of 8 of the boys, and none of those 4 knew that they had, their fathers had died. None of them had talked about it until it came out. And then one opened up and then started to get upset. And another boy walked over and hugged him. And then another boy said, well, my dad died too. And then they all started to realize they were in the same year group for a year together before they even knew that they all shared this similar thing in life, you know, this similar loss. Mm-hmm. It was so magical to witness, you know. And they've got very, very strong bond and friendships now, those boys, because they share that together. It's built like that, really. And then so now, I mean, the boys who are 17 and 18 who we see in our open-ended group, they just know, they just slip into it naturally, We don't even have, you know, we can have a visitor coming along and they'll openly talk about how they feel and they won't be embarrassed. It's just part of their language now. It's part of their daily routine, which I absolutely believe has saved lives. It really has, because now the boys feel able to talk. They know they're not embarrassed about their feelings and they can talk to their friends or they can talk to a teacher or they can talk to their mom and, you know, put their hand up if they're in need. And they have done that. And boys have admitted that if it wasn't for the program, they wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Literally, some have had awful experiences where their dad's died and they want to follow them, or you know, a friend's killed themselves, or just their mother's got mental health issues or got drug problems and they're a young carer for her and they just can't cope with the responsibility that life's given them. Yeah. They just want to take it, and they know that we are there, we support them, not just in the group, outside of the group as well. We literally will cater for whatever the need is and make sure that we're around for them the weekends, in the evening, if mum is in distress and little Billy's in need, we'll do a home visit within 24 hours. We're there, you know, within 10, within two probably. But we've got a lovely team of mentors, you know, a good therapeutic team of managers who are social workers or, you know, have a therapeutic behavior training background in schools. Yeah, we know it's not just a session a week and that's all that needs a lot more than that.
Well, and that's the beauty of the length of your program. We just spoke with Damon Brown and he works with boys, adolescents, and he was saying he's interviewed a lot of boys and he was saying that they're number one reason for not sharing how they feel is that they don't want to be a burden to others.
I was just about to say that, and especially boys with mums who are only children. They don't want to burden their mum. They don't want her to be worried about them if she's worried about money or worried about you know, like paying the rent on time or anything. They don't want to burden her. So the mums often tell themselves, well, there's nothing wrong with Billy because he's never told me.
Yeah.
He's never told me. So everything's okay. And it's like, actually, it's not okay because he's just opened up and said, it's not okay. And that is the problem when it comes to getting referrals, because mums will tell themselves that their son is okay because if he wasn't, he would have told her. Well, no, he wouldn't, because he's protecting her from the truth. He's protecting, especially if it's about his dad. If dad left and he hurt mom, he does not want to tell mom that dad, who she hates because she's hurt, he actually misses him. Exactly. He wants to see him. Mm-hmm. He's desperate to see him, but he daren't tell his mom. So he's holding all this pain inside him and swallowing it all down. And no wonder it becomes depression. No wonder he's no motivation and feeling just like he doesn't want to go into school or he doesn't want to face life. But then he can't confide in his mum. So who can he confide in? It's a catch-22.
Yes. So
that's why it's so important to raise awareness with mothers. And that's our goal this year, is to increase our awareness with single parent mothers to say, look, he might be okay now. He's in primary school, you know, up to age 10. Just you wait until he hits puberty and the testosterone kicks in, and that little boy that you tucked into bed at night and read a story to and tickled his back will not be that little boy. Like, in 2 years, it won't even let you in the bedroom. Forget that.
Right.
It's not going to happen, you know. And he will become a different person, and you need to be prepared for that. And we want to help you get prepared for that. And it will mean learning how to give your son space, how to knock on his bedroom door instead of bursting in to change his bedding or to do whatever or get clean washing away. You need to knock on the door, respect their privacy, and you need to do things differently. And if you're a mother, a son, and no one else, it's just you and him, that relationship can be very intense, and can be unhealthy in some cases, where mum's offloading to son and son is like a little husband to her. And suddenly the son gets a girlfriend And wow, then the fireworks really hit.
Yes.
Her little boy is no longer her beloved little boy anymore. It's somebody else's. Mm-hmm. So you get all of that as well. So that's why we work long term, because we're there in the ups and the downs and mm-hmm. when it plateaus, and then it goes up again and down again.
So how do you connect with the moms?
Day one, we don't just interview the boys for a place and do an assessment. He only gets a place if mom agrees to be interviewed as well. So interview the mom. We ask her about quite a few questions about her son, any concerns she's got for him, get some background information about dad. Only I meet the boy first and the mother afterwards, if we've agreed that the boy meets the criteria, not the other way around. So we don't want to create a bond with mom and then have to let her down. So we'll only meet the mom after we've met the boy, and we meet them separately because he won't talk in front of mom.
Right.
Or he won't be real or honest because he's cagey about what he says. So then we meet the mom and say, look, we show her the results of the assessment we've done. Sometimes there are tears because she said, I didn't know he felt like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that his emotional management, well, I did realize his emotional management was poor, but he's actually recognizing it himself. And it can be a very tearful moment when a realization, like a light bulb, goes on and goes, gosh, I didn't know he felt like this. Or if you get the mums who are indifferent and, you know, very prickly and think there's nothing wrong with him, he doesn't mm-hmm. need this, mm-hmm. then unfortunately, as much as little Billy might need it, we sometimes have to make that call that we can't work with him because we need mom to be on side.
Right.
5 years is a long time to work with a hostile mother. And mm-hmm. if we help that boy to manage his emotions, reduce his anger, find a voice, find his purpose, and then he goes home to somebody that just completely undoes all the work,
mm-hmm.
it's actually mm-hmm. cruel. Like giving someone sights and then saying, well, put the sunglasses back on when you go home. It's absolutely key is the interview process for the boy and the mother, because the mother can reveal a lot that maybe Billy didn't reveal.
Right,
in his interview. Or we can reflect back to her some of the things that he wasn't able to tell mum, but that is okay mm-hmm. about us letting her know. And then that relationship kind of gets off to a good start, and we put all the mums into a support group as well. It's an online group, and then we meet bi-monthly for coffee or, to do evaluations and of the boys, or just something social. The mums come together and can talk online in a WhatsApp group or on the Facebook and talk to each other and say, oh, have you found this? Well, yeah. They become friends as well, because some of them are quite isolated.
Yes.
And we have a family worker that keeps in touch with them every week that will give them telephone contact and just give them an update on how their son's getting on and any issues. And they might talk about their own personal issues, and they might get referred on to another agency to get support mm-hmm. or just want a cry or just a shout.
Right. Yeah. Just to have somebody there that will listen. Absolutely. So, so powerful. I'm curious if you have a body of the work that you can share with other agencies in the US. I'm imagining there's listeners going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. How do we tap into this? How do we replicate this?
Right. Well, brings me on to my next point. My vision is to create a Lads Need Dads Foundation, right? So it's like almost like a, don't know if you have, is it Walmart in America? I don't know. But over here, we've got B&Q, which is a big DIY chain. Mm-hmm. So I want to create like a DIY foundation where you come along and you can take the tools and go away and do it yourself.
Mm.
So over the next 2 to 3 years, by 2025, my vision is that we can have a Lads Need Dads Foundation where we can try and have any projects across the world that are working with boys and fatherlessness to come under our roof and be affiliated and supported, share with other people their expertise. I want us to be able to share our model and help other people set up their programs mm-hmm. because we know that's the only way we're going to be able to address this. We obviously want to prevent fatherlessness happening in the first place. There'll always be broken relationships, therefore there'll always be fatherlessness. Mm-hmm. So we have to meet that need. My long-term vision is to help, equip, and empower other people to do it. I want to write a book and put all of my top tips on the do's and don'ts. You know, recruitment, for example, that's one of my strengths. So we've had some of our mentors are still here after 7 years.
Wow.
You know, you've got to ask yourself, and trying to recruit men is a skill.
It's
a
skill. It is. It's
a skill, not just to recruit, but to retain.
Yes.
Skill. Mm-hmm. And my team are amazing, and they are valued, and they get personal satisfaction. We are like one big family. That's the way we operate. And we've got a very low dropout rate. Men don't often leave once they're with us, or if they do, it's to pursue a career in working with young men.
Sonia, your passion for this is very apparent. I love it. I love it. And tell our listeners where they can find more.
Ladsneeddads.org. We've got some videos on there of some of the boys that have been through the program or are currently on it. You can hear from some of the mothers and their experiences. Yeah, all I would say is to any single mums out there who's got a son, just really embrace any help that can be offered to you regarding working with you, with him. Encourage him to engage in the community, in sports or some kind of clubs where he'll have access to males. Martial arts is fantastic. We, all of our boys engage in martial arts because it's a physical touch sport where they get to express their energy and their physical, you know, their boundaries, and they learn how to tap out and what's appropriate. And all of that boys need, because they don't get to do that. They don't roll around the floor with their mums much, because it's just not natural for us to do that.
Yeah.
Martial arts, jiu-jitsu, judo, MMA, all of that. Mm-hmm. We find the boys thrive on that. They love it. Mm-hmm. And they're less likely to roll around the playground at school if they're doing it in a more contained, safe environment regularly.
You are giving us so much hope, and I wish you all the best in moving into this foundation so you can spread the word even more quickly around the globe, because this is a global issue. It's not just limited to America and the UK and Canada and Australia. It is a global issue. So
it affects everyone around the world in every community.
We definitely need to address it. And you are, in such a beautiful way. Sonia, thank you so much for your time and for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was so inspiring. If you found value in this episode, please share it with a friend. And as always, we appreciate you supporting our sponsors, allowing us to bring you guests like this and to do these inspiring, impactful interviews. We are your co-host, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net, and I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.